Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I have come here tonight to tell. Brother Schumacher, my pastor, the man of God, really has unknowingly made my task tonight easy. As he preached my message. This message tonight was actually born when Brother George was here. And it was completed up at family camp with Brother Woodward. But between then and now, the Lord allowed me to live some things so that I could bring to you some life application. But this is all about why we're here. So I've come tonight to both encourage you and challenge you in the Lord. Brother Schumacher's right. It's not a time to get stressed out. It's time for the church to press out. And Sister Graff, you're right. This world has nothing for us. But church, we have what this world needs. Amen, amen. I honor my pastor and his wife tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to teach the word. I truly have come to teach. I believe I have a message specifically for the church for such a time as this. You know, the corn's getting taller and the days are getting shorter. And it's a no-brainer. We know what's coming. But in the spiritual realm, if you would just simply think about what Jesus said, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. So you go back and look in that sixth chapter. What was the world like back then? Verses 11 through 13, twice in three portions of Scripture, the Lord mentions the word violence. And just what was going on back then and what's going on in our world now is as simple as understanding the corn's getting taller and the days are getting shorter. And if there's ever a time for the church to shine and be ready and pull as many as we can from the fire, we live in that time. Amen. Amen. So, the pastor has already, he's like the doctor who has consulted with you and told you that this is what we have to do to address some issues. So you already know what's coming. But please just trust that what I have come here tonight to deliver came from the Master. And this makes it so easy for me to deliver to you what I believe the Lord would say to His church tonight. Amen. Are you okay so far? Amen. Amen. And if Thursday nights don't work for you, as far as taking somebody to Pastor Schumacher's house, I'm teaching a Bible study on Friday nights. And I will talk more about that later. If you know somebody and a Thursday don't work, please bring a bus full. Amen. Amen. I know you have your Bibles because it's Wednesday night. And Wednesday night is Bible study night. And just like Brother Woodward said, it's, of course, with him it was the morning, but I'm going to say this is the evening that the Bible comes to life. And if you will allow me to allow for the Spirit of the Lord to flow through me. When Jesus spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and he expounded on them the scriptures, later on it said that when they talked to each other, they said, did our hearts not burn within us when he expounded unto us the scriptures? The Word of God should do something to us. It should encourage us. It should rile us up and want us to do something with it. And whenever I see in scriptures where Jesus told somebody something, they couldn't help themselves. They had to go. The woman at the well had to go and say, come see a man. The disciples had to go back and say, we saw him. Amen. If you will go tonight to the book of Genesis, amen, amen. The first chapter. And God said. Don't you like that, Brother Monday? And God said. Isn't it awesome to have the revelation and the knowledge of God where we know that he speaks and we hear him speak in many different ways? In this place, in the gifts of the Spirit, through the word of the Lord, through the man of God. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And you know what's awesome? And it was so. Can I tell you, and we heard that last Sunday, if God said it, it's so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. I want to speak to you tonight about trees. Two trees in specific, but I want to focus on the tree of life. Pastor Schumacher, would you pray? Amen. Amen. Could you clap your hands to the Lord one more time before you're seated? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Isn't that amazing? 3 days in. And already the tree exists. Now I know that the scriptures talk about there being enmity between the woman and the devil, but could I just show you tonight that already the vessel that would bring victory to all of mankind was in the world. The tree was there on the third day. The third day is the day that the Lord came from the grave. And just 12 verses into Scripture, we see that it exists. And isn't it amazing that thousands of years later, 12 disciples would deliver a message that was lived on the cross and fulfilled on the cross, and it would bring salvation to mankind. Amen. If you'll jump down to verse 26 of that chapter. And God said, let us make man in our image, after the likeness, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. In the image of God. God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So God created man in his image. Ephesians 4 and 24 says this, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So God had in mind a design for mankind, created in his image, but also what they were supposed to be like. And in the New Testament, we see it come alive. Romans 13 and 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And of course, Galatians 3 and 27, that says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. From the very beginning, he created man in his own image. And even though Adam fell in the garden, God made a way because of the tree so that once again we could be created in the image of God. In holiness and righteousness, so that the world could see that there's a way out. Now, look at Genesis 3 and the sixth verse. Genesis 3 and verse 6. We see a problem arising. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where are you? Of course, we know he knew where they were. He's pressing a question to his creation. Where are you? And sometimes the Lord has to talk to the church and say, where are you? Are you caught up in the trees, in the things, in the stuff? So we see that Adam and Eve set aside the instruction of God. But now, what appeared to be good and pleasant to the eye and something to be desired to make them wise changed their image of who they were, and they immediately go into the cover-up mode and take on a sinful nature. Two trees. We see the tree that caused man to fall and tarnish the image, if you will. But years down the road, there'd be another tree that the Lord Jesus Christ would hang on and allow for that image of God to be restored to mankind again. Really, when Adam set down the image of God, the Lord took on his image and hung on the cross because really he was naked and innocent. Think about that. Adam, before they partook of the fruit and knew they were naked, lived in the dispensation of innocency, so he was naked and innocent. And so was Jesus on the cross to make a way that once again we could truly live this life in this world, this corrupt world, in the image of God and show people that there is hope, there are answers. Amen. It was at a tree that mankind took on a sinful nature. But the Lord on a tree made it possible for them to reclaim the image. Go down to verse 22 through 24 of that third chapter. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword which turned," look at this, I want you to see this, "every way to keep the way of the tree of life." The sword turned every way. There were no limitations. Whatever would happen, whatever would come against it, the flaming sword would be there to cover it. It would take care of situations. The flaming sword that protected the tree of life, the Bible says, turned every way to keep the tree of life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 15 and 5, he said, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same," now listen, "bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Verse 16 of that 15th chapter of the book of John says this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go," here we go again, "and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Could I ask you to please look at that scripture and be soul-minded? Notice he's talking about bearing fruit and bringing forth fruit. Okay? Keep that in mind. "And that your fruit should remain." And then he says, "that whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Soul-minded, bearing fruit for the Lord, telling people about him. And then, if you would focus that on people, anybody here have children that they want to see come back to the house of the Lord? Anybody have brothers and sisters? What if you would claim this scripture and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, claim it? "Whatsoever ye ask." There's a man in this church who shared something with me about he sought God because he was living for God, doing what the Word of God asked, and he was bold and went to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm holding you to your word. I want my children back in the church. I'm doing what your word tells me to do. I'm bearing fruit for the kingdom, and I'm bold enough to ask you. I want my children." Guess what? The children are here. And so if we could take that scripture and not think of what can I get from the master? What can he give me to make my life better? A new car, a new... How about someone that we've wanted to see come to the house of the Lord? How about be soul-minded and claim this scripture? Because whatsoever ye ask in his Father's name, that he may give it to you. Oh, my Lord, bearing fruit for the Lord. That word fruit truly does mean souls for the harvest. Study it out. And so bearing fruit has something to do with you and I getting some answers about some of our loved ones or brothers or sisters or neighbors or people that we would love to see come to the Lord. Whatsoever ye ask. Amen. So, what seemed to be a curse in the garden is now a blessing in God's kingdom and the church. Now we, the church, are sent forth to plant. Notice the curse, they were put out of the garden. Verse 23 says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And guess what? In the church, he sends us forth to till the ground. But it's not a curse anymore. It's a blessing. Because as we bring fruit to the kingdom of God, oh my, it's pleasing to the Father. It's pleasing to the one who shed his blood for you and for I. And the flaming sword is the anointed word of God. And his fire or spirit within us is what gives us the ability. Notice the sword turned every way. There are no limitations as to who God can win or as to who God can bring to his house or to who you can witness to and have an effect. There's no limit because the flaming sword turned every way. Something so basic in scripture, but the Lord, there's a type and a shadow of what he had for you and I. If we would just, when it was offered to us, take of the word, the instruction of God, like he gave in the garden from the very beginning. Oh, there's this one thing that I don't want you to touch. Okay? So, for you and I in this world, there's these things that I don't want you to touch. But, like it was said already tonight, he wants to keep us from them for our good, for our protection. Not because he does not want us to have. So they add now the knowledge of good and evil. You know what? There's things I wish I didn't have in my mind. There's things I wish I wouldn't have seen or experienced. Now, I know I'm the only one here who can say that. Just a smell, just a song, just a few notes, and it can bring back so much stuff. And that's what the Lord wants to keep us from, something that will hinder us. But there are no limitations as far as who God can reach with his word. Now, if you go back to John 15... And go to that. I just want to read the 15th verse of that 15th chapter of the book of John. Henceforth I tell you, or I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. I have made known to you. And here's where the life application part starts. You see, the Lord has given us revelation. He has taught us things that when we tell people, they look at us in astonishment and like we're on a drug or something. They've never heard it. They can't even I've never seen that before. So the Lord takes us aside and reveals to us. But he never did that to his disciples without expecting them to go share it with others. Whenever they lacked understanding, Lord, what meaneth this? And he'd pull them aside and tell them from the parable of the sower, okay, the sower is the seed is the, oh, I get it. So he expounded unto them the scriptures, but then he sent them forth. Didn't expound on them just to sit on it so that they had this head full of knowledge and they had theirs and they had a comfortable pew to sit on and well, there's plenty of room in here so we don't ever have to worry about feeling crowded. You know what? I think the Lord wants us to feel crowded. I see scripture where they had to peel the roof off to get people in there because that place was full. So, there was a day up at camp, and this little piece of paper started a life application for me. This little piece of paper says on it, UPCI at sbcglobal.net. Some of you probably know what that is. And it says, Brother Schumacher. And I dropped that from my Bible. And it went under the pew in the tabernacle at family camp. And I reached under for it and I didn't get it. I pushed it back further. So I had to reach and twist a little further to get it. And my wife was looking at me thinking, I don't think you're supposed to bend that way and move that way. I don't know that we're humanly capable of doing those things. And when I got back up, I felt a pop. And I was embarrassed, of course. No hero story to tell about something brave I did and cracked a rib. But here's the life application. You see, I couldn't just leave that piece of paper lay because the name on that piece of paper is someone that God put in my life for instruction. Thank God for a man of God in your life because do you know why God put him there? To cause us to reach a little further, to push a little deeper, to go a little longer. And so because of that, I had to go to the emergency room and have some x-rays and you know, I'm thinking all this and but do you know what it was? It was a life application because God had to get me in a place where I had to take a look inside and see if there were some things. That weren't right. And when Brother George was here, he was talking about the revival that God wants to bring to this place, but there's just a few things. And as the home Bible study director of this church, I just felt pricked in my heart that there's more that I can do. And I made a recommitment that day, and I went to my pastor, and I apologized, and I want to be pushed a little, and listen, I just simply want to tell you that is God tugging at your heart right now and saying, you can reach a little deeper. You can push a little further. Take the time to tell that one about me. So that morning at camp, the Lord gave me just a powerful revelation in his word, and I'll show it to you. But that's what he did. He said, I saw you come into this place with anticipation in your heart because you wanted to learn more about me. And so now I'm going to pull you aside and show you something. But because I do that, you have to go back and you have to tell them, you, that it's time to reach a little further, to dig a little deeper. Do you know, 20 years ago, August 29th of this year will be 20 years that I've been serving the Lord. And if somebody would have told me 20 years ago that on a Friday night I would be teaching a home Bible study in my home, I would have gave them the look. This is not a rebuke. This is a, what are you willing to do for me? You and I both know that this world is a mess. And we so desperately have what they need. So just like he took his disciples aside privately for instruction, the Lord takes us aside as well. In John 19 and 30, Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. We learned so much from Brother Woodward about what happened on Mount Moriah, all the things that happened from Abraham and Isaac and the prophets and David. And then the Lord Jesus Christ himself would be crucified there. And what he showed me was this, that Abraham raised the knife to pierce his son. And before he could plunge it and cause for there to be bloodshed, a voice from heaven said, Abraham, Abraham. There would be no shedding of blood that day. But hundreds of years later, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the same mountaintop, this time on a cross, hanging there, he said, it is finished. And this day, it would be allowed for the knife to plunge in. And this time there would be bloodshed. But that bloodshed would be the church. It was blood and it was water. It was really a fruit tree. Jesus hanging on the cross and the seed that reproduced after itself. The blood and the water was the church, and he would reproduce after himself a kind that would take this message to the world that he so desperately loved and wanted to show a way out. And that blood this time dripped on that mountaintop. And it was like the king's signet. When he sealed letters, he would take the ring and put the hot wax and put his signet in it. And not only did he carve his name in that mountain and in our hearts, but he sealed it with the signet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, his blood. The same blood that's applied to you and I. And if we'll just open the letters and share them with other people. David, who at the end of his life, as a matter of fact, in my Bible, in 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, there's a heading that says, the final words of David. And he longed for a drink. Brother Portman, you opened a service with it just last Sunday, I believe. I'm getting old, so I can't remember the... But he longed for a drink from the well of Bethlehem. He was thirsty. Jesus on the cross said, I thirst. right at the end. Right at the end, David was thirsty for a drink. And three mighty men went forth to get him water. The first was Adino. That word derives from a spear or a shaft. It means his ornament. The second's name was Eleazar. He was the one who fought and smote Philistines to the point where the Bible says his hand clave to the sword. Now there's a picture for you. That flaming sword. But his name means God has helped. And then there was Shema. He was the one who, a little piece of land with some lentils, he stood up for a hill of beans because they didn't think the land was important. But he said, oh no, not on my watch, not my place. We've heard that before. Shema. He stood for what was right, and that his name means astonishment. So, you and I, because of the blood that was shed on the cross, have applied it to our lives. We become his ornament. And then he puts his spirit in us and asks us to go forth and bear fruit with his word. And he helps us. God has helped. And then we share that depth and that goodness because of the word of God. And astonishment is ushered in to somebody's life. I never thought there could be this kind of peace. I never thought there could be life so enriched and fulfilling. But there is, because of the blood that was shed on that mountain. But David would not drink of that blood, that water. He said, is this not the blood of the men? It was who would give their life for him. Is this not the blood of the three men? And the Bible said that he dumped it out on the ground. He could not use something like that for his own satisfaction or his own fulfillment. He didn't feel worthy. And if David would feel that way about the three mighty men that shed blood for him or risked their lives, how much more can we just sit on the blood of Jesus, which he has applied to our lives, and not want to give someone else a drink of what we have been partakers of? I have not come to rebuke anybody. I have come to say that I believe the Lord is asking us in this world, the shape that people are in, it's time to reach out a hand and give somebody a drink from the wells of the living water that he has placed inside of us. He sends us forth with power. See, in Genesis, the second chapter, we too see the word finished. Because Genesis 2 and 1 says that the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. Finished, completed, which ties in with he didn't go to finish heaven. It was already done according to Genesis 2 and 1. It's finished. It's done. It didn't need remodeling. It didn't need a little touch up of paint. God made it. God finished it. It's done. It is finished. So the heavens and the earth were complete. They were finished. And watch this. And all the hosts of them, heaven and earth. Can I tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ saw you back then in Genesis, the second chapter and verse 1, because now you and I are a part of the army of God. You study that word outpost. It means angelic forces. It means army. It means... So way back then in Genesis 2, from the lamb slain from the foundations of the earth, he saw his host or his army that would live in this day and time that you and I live. Sealed with the signet of the king, his blood applied to our lives. Then we see that word finished, and I read it once already, John 19 and 30. So that word finished, completed, finished, fully fulfilled, complete, accomplished is what Genesis 2 and 1 means. In John, the 19th chapter, that word finished means with a special reference to the supreme matter, to carry out the contents of a command. With reference also to the form to do just as commanded and generally involving the notion of time to perform the last act which completes a process. Wow! To accomplish. That's what he did in John, the 19th chapter. It is finished. That blood would bleed from majesty. We sing that song. So now we who are blood washed are his host or army who has been commanded to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And his blood on us is the king's signet. It's finished. It's sealed. We just need to open the letters. It is finished. So, a few weeks ago, on a Saturday morning, and I've stood before this congregation before and told you a number of times about the significance of the number 3 in my life, and on the third day, the Lord rose again. It's been a sign for years. Over and over, like the 11-11s, for me it's 3s and 333. And so a few weeks ago on a Saturday morning at 3:33 a.m., I got a call from work, no power. The generator's not working. And I said, we just spent $7,000 to fix that and upgrade it. What do you mean it's not working? No power. So I'm driving to Kenosha, and I'm saying, Lord, you know all about this. There must be some reason for this. And I got there, and the generator was running, but the man who did $7,000 of work overlooked one little detail. He didn't flip the switch. And I'm wondering how many people in our lives, if we leave out that the switch might not get flipped. So I was relieved that that was the problem and this was going to be an easy fix and I could just go back home. But I went down and I flipped the switch. The building lights came on. The parking lot street lights came on. The neighborhood lit up. And I knew, I was smart enough to know that my generator was not powering that whole neighborhood. What are the chances that that would be the timing? And then the life application. And the Lord said, I want to talk to you. And here's what he wants to tell you. You don't realize wherever you go every day, whether it's the grocery store or your place of work, you have no idea of the power that you take with you. One little flip of a switch, one word to the right person can open something up and start a power surge that can change somebody and light up their life and change their life forever. But we have to decide, are we going to flip the switch, or are we just going to be comfortable in our pew? I know we're busy. I know we have things. I know we have demands on our lives. But I remember almost 20 years ago how excited I was when I got the revelation of who Jesus was. I didn't care who they were. I was going to tell them about Jesus because he changed my life. He delivered me from all kinds of garbage and changed me and turned me and set me on a road that was going to allow for me to live eternally in a place that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. And so I just want to close by telling you this. There are so many people in this place tonight, sitting here right now, that know so much about the one who's in charge of it all. We have all been enlightened. We have all been given the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. And every one of us has the ability to make a difference in somebody's life. So please don't be offended when I come up to you and say, are you teaching, brother? Do you have anybody that you know wants to sit through a Bible study? Because our time is short. The earth was filled with violence. Listen, the corn's getting taller and the days are getting shorter. It's time for the church to shine, flip the switch, turn on the lights, and make a difference in somebody's life. Would you stand tonight? So Friday night, in my household, we started the lesson. And there's a young man who's sitting in that Bible study. He's not here tonight. He works second shift. And we had about 7 or 8 people in my living room. And I asked people to turn to the book of Genesis. And this young man, right in my living room, said, I'd like to just hit the pause button if I could. And he got up, and if you've ever been to my house, my living room's not real big. We were kind of all there. And he came over with the Bible, Sister Nibia, that you gave me, that I gave him, that the Lord impressed on you, that you needed to pass those Bibles along. Can I encourage you tonight and tell me that a Bible was set in a young man's hands who stood up in my living room and said, after he said, could I hit the pause button, he came to me with that Bible and he said, I don't know a thing about this book. I don't even know how to get to Genesis. And my heart was immediately knitted to him. I thought, here's a young man that's so hungry, and he's been delivered from some hard things, and he's on the road to having the light restored to his life. But he's not too proud and too arrogant just to sit back and try to fake his way through. But he wants to learn, and he said, could you show me? Could you teach me? And I want you all to know that right now, there's somebody out there just like him that wants to look you in the eyes and say, could you show me? Could you teach me? Because I don't know, but I want to learn. Because I'm tired of being beat up in this world. And so he was so thankful that we would take the time and say, you know what, it doesn't matter how long it takes you. This is where the chapter is, and the chapters are the big numbers, and then you just follow by verse, and we'll start like that. Thank you. And then after we fed the soul, my wife does an awesome job at making a dessert or buying a dessert. I think she learned that from Sister Schumacher to whatever. But when it was over, so that that thing wouldn't be speaking to me after the class left, we sent it with them. Are you kidding? You want to give this to me? I thought, oh, I got some meals for you, young man. That pie's nothing. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Amen. Turn the switch on for somebody, would you? Pastor Schumacher.
Amen. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 11 and 30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. See, there was an angel that guarded the tree of life. But now we have access to the tree of life when we win souls. I don't want to embarrass Brother Bear, but I felt so strongly when I was sitting there. 20 years ago, some of you know this, 20 years ago, Brother Bear went hunting for turkeys. And he had a friend who was in a blind, and he agreed that they were going to meet at noon. And as he went to meet his friend at the blind, for some reason, the friend thought he was a turkey. Raised up, shot him. I don't know if you know anything about turkey hunting, but there's a 3-inch Magnum 12 gauge that you use with sometimes number twos, double aught, powerful. Picked him up. He's just a little guy. Picked him up and threw him on the ground. And he thought, this is it. I'm going to die. God, if you save my life, I'll live for you. How many of you came into the church and your life was just perfect? No. Sometimes God has to arrest our attention, get our attention, maybe to the point where, you know what, we're so desperate we need God, whether it's sickness, finances, divorce, you see. And let me just conclude this. There are all kinds of people that are around here with sickness and divorce and financial difficulties. And what God is saying, hello, there's a red flag. All you have to do is go and minister to that individual. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got a problem? Now I know God has sent me to you in order to help you where you can't help yourself. Hallelujah. I appreciate the word of God. Part of what happens in this pulpit is to transmit the burden that you have to people who are in the pews. Please receive that. Please receive it. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?